You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
March the 26th, 2020. The update on the coronavirus cases around the world. 492,000 infected. Death count, 22,000. In the U.S., 68,000 infected. And 1,037 deaths. Jobless claims jumping to 3.2 million last week. Obviously, a reaction to the layoffs because of coronavirus. Claims jumping in all 50 states and the District of Columbia. So when are you going to get those checks? The Senate bill got passed. It's in the House of the, or rather in the hands of the House, and they now want to take time to read something. They didn't just want to jump on it and push it forward. Nancy Pelosi, who was willing to sign off on Obama bill and say, well, we won't know what's in it until we sign it, is wanting to read this one before they sign it. But you're getting closer to getting $1,200 stimulus checks, at least that much. Nancy, of course, in the meantime, is suggesting, well, this bill doesn't solve a lot of things we wanted. And back up, we don't know how big this one's going to get. They're now hinting at a fourth stimulus bill to get all their pie-in-the-sky stuff that got cut out of this one. New York City, one New York City hospital, right in the center of the state's coronavirus outbreak, reports in the last 24 hours, 13 deaths because of the virus outbreak. Medical staff being pushed to the limit. And the Department of Homeland Security notified that New York City's morgues are nearing capacity, which raises a question. If you have a death in the family, be it from the virus or else, a natural cause, a tragedy, can you have a funeral at this time? What's being done on that? We'll have that story coming up a little bit later this hour. More than 200 U.S. Army troops now deployed to New York. The idea is to provide a, quote, full range of health care services. These are medical personnel from the 531st Hospital Center based in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Their motto, to preserve life. And while we are in the midst of this coronavirus outbreak, and we are told, stay inside, do not gather in groups of more than two, local jails across the nation continue to decide to open the cells and let prisoners go free, stating, well, if they stay in here and they might be more exposed to coronavirus because they're all closely packed in, they don't have their distance, so we'll let them go free. But if they go free, do you expect them to, one, not be carrying the virus whether or not you do testing on them? And from what I'm seeing, they're not testing any of them before they let them go. And two, that they're going to go home and sit in their home like they were in their jail cell again? This makes no sense. None. Then you got this story that I'm sure you missed because not much attention was given to it. It's out of Missouri. A 36-year-old man injured Tuesday in a suburb of Kansas City. Investigators say he was plotting to bomb a hospital. I'm sorry, this guy was killed in the shooting. My mistake. He was killed in the shooting, and he decided to bomb a hospital, and he decided with all the coronavirus pandemic, I think I'm going to do it now. Well, obviously it didn't work. And another story that's kind of fallen by the wayside. Did you forget who's running for the Democrat primary? Sanders and Biden. They have a debate scheduled for April, maybe, maybe not. Biden is saying, I don't want another debate. We don't need it. We got enough. I think we've had enough debates. And, of course, neither one of them are getting any kind of traction or coverage right now. They can't get out and campaign. They're just kind of blowing in the wind. While President Trump continues to be president, helping watch over our nation, basically is a wartime president at this point.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19, coronavirus, is real. But despite all the hype, the fake news, there's no need to panic. Still, you want your environment safe for customers, employees, family. What can be done? How much would it cost? Who to trust? I can tell you, Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental would determine the best way to protect against COVID-19. Wellington Environmental can do it at a very reasonable cost. When it comes to trust, for more than 30 years, Wellington Environmental has been working with hospitals, nursing homes, universities, schools, even private homes. You don't last more than 30 years if you're not doing an excellent job. COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has the experience to give you peace of mind. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We've said constantly that every place is going to have a different curve. So New York's going to have a different curve than Washington, than Boise, Idaho. And what the president, in my mind, is doing is trying to help people understand that there is a light at the end of this tunnel. We will get through this. And as you mentioned earlier, we're seeing New York's cases level off. We're seeing their hospitalizations start to level off. And when you look at China, when you look at South Korea, their curve was about 2 to 2.5 months. So there is hope that if we continue to lean into these mitigation efforts, and we're 2/3 of the way through this 15 days to stop the spread initiative, that we can flatten the curve and that we can get to the end of this more quickly.
Those are the words of Dr. Jerome Adams, the Surgeon General. And he's referencing the fact that the president has said, I would like to see our churches filled on Easter Sunday. Which you got a lot on the left suddenly shouting out, oh, you can't do that. It'd be too soon. You'll put everybody in jeopardy again. Well, yesterday, Dr. Fauci said the president would like to see that happen. Not saying it's going to, not saying he's going to force it, but at some point, my friend, we have to start resuming normal life. And let me give you a quick rundown. Easter is April 12th. April the 12th. We are today March 26th. If we consider Sunday, March the 15th, the first beginning of the 15-day shutdown, technically we'll be out of it by next Wednesday. But just because we put a calendar date up and said 15 days doesn't mean you can necessarily go by that. So what if we have to go a little deeper? Let's say that we didn't really start the shutdown until this Monday. This Monday, 2 days, 3 days ago. All right, help me with my math. 4 days ago. You're welcome. Thanks. So let's say it started this last Monday, which you know it hadn't. It was already in effect. 15 days would take us through this week, next week, and April the 8th. Still 4 or 5 days before Easter. But you can't hold hard and fast to the 15 days. And yet the left is saying, well, the president suggested that, the health people suggested that, and now they want to roll the clock back, roll the date back. Well, they're not really rolling anything back. A lot of folks are asking, well, when did this thing start? When does it come to an end? We need to do what's necessary at this point in our nation. And in fact, Dr. Fauci is warning Americans, you need to be ready for a second round of coronavirus. He said, we need to continue working on a vaccine so it'll be prepared when it comes back seasonally. He said, I know we'll be successful in putting this down now, but we really need to be prepared for the next cycle. He's also pointing out that China is telling the World Health Organization they're concerned about it coming back in their area, even though they beat it down already. It's going to be a continuous issue. And like all the flus we have that come and go, some are more virulent than others. New York is the epicenter right now, and they have had, in the last 24 hours, 13 deaths. 13 deaths. The governor of New York had been praising President Trump a few days ago, saying he was giving us everything we want, helping out, sending one of the hospital ships to be off the shore of New York in case they needed additional beds, not just for coronavirus, but maybe we keep the coronavirus patients in the city hospitals, but we use the ship and its 1,000 beds for additional patients. And as I mentioned in news and commentary a moment ago, more than 200 U.S. Army soldiers are deployed to New York to offer, quote, a full range of health care services. They're all part of the 531st Hospital Center based in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. The governor says we'll take any and all help. And, of course, in the meantime, he's also trying to make sure the citizens do their part. He had just yesterday said we'll shut down playgrounds if New Yorkers are not going to properly distance themselves. And that means no close contact, such as a basketball game. He's urging New Yorkers to voluntarily adjust. He said if there is no compliance, if no one is complying, then we will have to make it mandatory and shut down the playgrounds. In my last hour, I had John LeBoutière, former U.S. Congressman from New York, on telling us about how conditions are in New York, both when it comes to commuters and people moving around. It says his opinion and where he is that most folks seem to be abiding by that and doing the best they can. Which is good because, again, New York Governor Cuomo said his state is getting hit the hardest. In fact, he said New York has had 15 times the coronavirus cases of California. And then the governor made a little remark that is very interesting. He said, because we welcome people from across the globe. We have people coming here. We have people who came here from China, who came here from Italy, who came here from all across the globe. That's our nation. Our nation has people from around the globe, all across the face of our nation. But what he's doing when he says this, he said, I had no doubt the virus was here much earlier than even we know because we are so welcoming. New York, at last check, 30,000 cases. California, 2,600. Washington State, 2,400. And he added that New Yorkers live close to one another, which is making it easy for it to spread. And you go in the restaurants, they often would be crowded if they're open. Same with movie theaters. The public transportation, subways, buses, and our commuter trains in and out of New York. And he added that our closeness is what makes us special. That we're more open, more tolerant. But here's the underlying part of his remarks. We welcome people from across the globe. Basically saying, without using the words, if you can get here, you'll be welcome. To wit, illegals. If you can get to New York, you'll be welcome. And New York is a sanctuary state. Now, California is as well. And they have a lot of illegals and more have been trying to get across. But their numbers are not as high as New York right now. And it may well be that folks get into California, they don't necessarily go into L.A. or San Francisco or some of the major areas. Whereas they get into New York State, they gyrate to the Big Apple. There have been some insisting from, even though Governor Cuomo was praising Trump the other day, New York Mayor de Blasio has been critical, saying we're not getting enough, we're not getting what we need. That story has begun to change, which you could understand. Cuomo may want to say at the same time that, yeah, things have changed, we're going to need more, and we're not getting it fast enough. The U.S. Assistant Health Secretary, Ambassador Guerrero, said, we've been able to give New York everything they've asked for. Everything. But, of course, they want more. And they're going to need more. And part of it has to be with the sheer numbers they have in New York. But, again, the Admiral with the Health and Human Services said we're getting them anything and everything we can. We're doing the best we can under these conditions. It's not just New York that has a problem. And I don't think anybody in our nation wants to say, make sure this city's taken care of, the rest of them, they're on their own. And, of course, some of them start to point to the Defense Production Act, which the president has signed and could use at any point. That basically is just a way to tell companies, change your line over instead of making this, make this for the nation. And or if you have some private company wanting similar items built, you do it for us first. Well, we've seen companies step up and do their part. The president has said, I don't need to use it as a hammer on American businesses. They are, in fact, helping out. Anheuser-Busch has been helping with sanitizers. Ford Motor Company switched over a big line to start presenting, I think, ventilators. Even the MyPillow founder has a large capacity of his group working on protective masks. I see the nation pulling together. I do see it in areas that maybe we still need to have more help. That's understandable. And the other part of it is every day we go down through this road and we're not sure when it's coming to an end and where it's going to turn next, and if we are going to have another round of this stuff sweep through, what do we do? How do we do it? Speaking of roads, in New York City, they decided one way they can kind of contain things. for the folks who have their cars, they will start closing several streets. They are closing down vehicular traffic from various streets for periods of time. And NYPD officers will patrol the same areas to ensure any pedestrians are following social distancing measures and could shut down additional streets. And, of course, the White House just the other day asked anyone leaving New York City, wherever you're going, when you get there, you should self-quarantine for at least 2 weeks because you could be carrying the virus at that point and not know it. And of course, the governor of Florida has already made that recommendation. Anyone coming from New York, we would like you to self-quarantine. Does New York have everything it needs at this point? That's for them to make a decision. If they need more, then we need to do what we can to help. But just because it's the biggest city, we can't ignore the others. And then there's a country that gave up a lot of equipment it wishes it had back. It gave it to China before suddenly we got hit with the Chinese virus. And there's going to have to be some splaining on this one. Please stand by.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
Jimmy's in the back with a pocket of heart. If you listen close, you can hear him cry, oh. Heaven knows we belong way down below. Sing it.
Oh, Lord, heaven knows we belong way down below. Way down below, way down below.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I have a question for you. If you have a member of your family pass away because of the coronavirus or any other disease or just general health or tragedy, what do you do about a funeral? What can you do? I'll come back to that in a moment. I mentioned going into this segment about a nation that gave away vital supplies it needs now, and it gave it away to China. To China. And they made a big deal out of it when they did. The country pointed out that it said, we're working with our partners and international organizations to control the spread of the coronavirus. This was something they had done prior to it suddenly becoming a pandemic. And very proudly saying, we're working with partners and international organizations to control it. So to support the ongoing response in China to the outbreak, we have deployed something like 16 tons of personal basic medical equipment, ventilators, masks, 16 tons. That would be Canada. Canada. And now the prime minister is crying out, we don't have enough medical supplies. You sent them to China, sir. The Department of Homeland Security has been notified that New York City's morgues are nearing capacity. And what are they going to do then? Well, they might be bringing in refrigerated vehicles they will use as temporary morgues. It's hard to say. But the question for you is, if you have someone loved that close and dear to you pass away because of the virus or something else, can you have a funeral now? What are funeral homes doing? The general attitude of funerals comes from the National Funeral Directors Association, saying that the Department of Homeland Security has decided that mortuary workers are a critical infrastructure worker. But how to carry it out? Different funeral homes will have different policies. Some will allow only two family members in the building at the time to pay their respects. When it comes to something like a military area, like Jefferson Barracks, they're getting locations that are keeping people from holding their sites, their funerals actually at the site. They had to move around some. So at this point, they're still trying to decide themselves. If you don't have a clear understanding from your funeral home as to when you can visit, have visitation, and or who can be at graveside services or when, you're going to have to work it out with the funeral home. But keep in mind, they're also going to be trying to comply with federal guidelines. And some states, like Missouri, imposing no more than 10 people at a time. We'll take a break when we come back. Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation. And we're going to talk about how the Democrats, in their stimulus package they wanted to run through and that Nancy came up with, were using it only using the crisis to weaponize the elections.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So you're sitting in your favorite chair, sipping your coffee, and then you see it. What is that? It's moving. It's a bug. You don't care what kind. You just want it out of your house. And that's when you call Rottler Pest Solutions. In no time, Rottler's at your house taking care of that bug and all of his little friends. Now, you might think any pest control company could do the job, but with Rottler, all employees go through extensive background checks, and Rottler is proud to be the first company in Missouri to receive the Quality Pro Green designation. So after Rottler clears your house of any pesky critters, you can return to your favorite chair, back to your cup of coffee. Rottler Pest Solutions, Missouri's largest family-owned pest control company. And even better, they don't just serve the St. Louis area, but Columbia, Kansas City, Springfield, Fairview Heights. Rottler.com. Rottler.com. Rottler.com.
I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We welcome back Hans von Spakovsky, an expert with the Heritage Foundation when it comes to constitutional law, federal election rules. Hans, glad to have you back on board, sir.
Larry, thanks for having me.
Well, so we finally got the Senate early this morning to sign off on this $2 trillion package, sending it over the House. And Nancy says today, well, we're going to need at least 24 hours, because we'd like to read what's in a bill before we sign it and vote on it, which is different than what they did with the Obamacare bill. Isn't that right? I mean, didn't she say we won't know what's in it until we vote for it?
That's right. And remember, that was also the time when people were asking her about, well, you know, are these provisions constitutional or not? And she said, the Constitution? The Constitution? As if, why in the world would they need to worry about that?
So here we have this, but the Democrats, with her leading them, they're already talking about a fourth phase stimulus package. To me, it's another way to get in everything they couldn't get in this last one. And what they were trying to do is weaponize this for voter support.
Yeah, if you look at the bill that she dropped in the House, 1,400 pages, they had all these provisions in it dealing with federal elections, which were clearly geared to help them win the 2020 presidential election and future elections by weakening laws when it comes to the security and integrity of the election process and making it easier to commit voter fraud and making it easier to manipulate election results. And I mean, and to give you just a quick example, her version of the coronavirus bill would have made vote harvesting legal everywhere in the country, overriding state laws that prevent vote harvesting. So, in other words, they would have made it legal for candidates and people who work for candidates, political consultants, party activists, to go collect and pick up absentee ballots all over the country. Can you imagine the possible and potential results of that?
And we have questions about California for that very reason, don't we?
Yes, we did. And or another example is Pelosi's bill would have outlawed and banned any state witness requirements for absentee ballots and any state ID requirements for absentee ballots.
And what does that have to do, by the way? I lost something with getting money to the American public in a time of crisis.
It has absolutely nothing whatsoever.
I was right. I was thinking I might be confused. Go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right about it. Or give you another example of how Pelosi's, what she wanted, would have allowed the manipulation of election results. Look, look, you can vote by absentee ballot in every state, and that's necessary for people who are sick and can't make it to the polls, and we might maybe have to do that in November. But states don't allow those absentee ballots to start getting counted until the end of Election Day, when all of the other ballots are also being counted. And the reason for that's pretty common sense. If you start voting those absentee ballots early, well, then you start tabulating votes. What happens if that information is then leaked out to the public? It might deter people from voting when they hear that their particular candidate is losing. Or if it's leaked out to particular candidates who are behind, well, then they can change their strategy and tactics to try to change the outcome. Pelosi's bill would have mandated, if you can believe this, that states start tabulating, counting early votes and absentee ballots 2 weeks before election day.
Now, I really want to go down that road in more detail with you, but before I do, I want to take one step back. We had decided, I mean, it's been the rule from the national, across the board, when it comes to national elections, like the president's vote coming up and so forth, that no results would be given prior to a poll closing. And the problem we saw previously in years, as you know, in decades past, all the reports coming out of the East and so forth, then California, they were still 2 or 3 hours away from voting. So
right.
It changed the entire look of some elections, didn't it?
No, it certainly did. And here she wants to make sure this starts happening 2 weeks before the election.
You and a colleague wrote a piece I've got here in front of me, and you took one of their operative words that they have from time to time. Never let a serious crisis go to waste.
Yes, and that's exactly what's been happening, not just with these election provisions, but with all the other provisions that Democrats have been wanted to stuff into this bill that's supposed to be dealing only with this emergency, this health care emergency that we face.
And, you know, going back through this, I mean, I've already lit up over the money for the JFK Center and some things of that nature, but you know, some of it might end up helping jobs or whatever, but there's nothing in here, nothing in any of this effort for voter registration, online requests, things of this nature, where it's going to create money, jobs, or pay for anybody that's suffering at this point at all. None.
No, not at all. In fact, look, to show you how far afield this is, Pelosi's bill also would have required every state to have 15 days of early voting. Now, we're in a situation where we're being recommended, restaurants are being closed, businesses are being closed, social distancing. Why in the world would they put in a provision requiring states to have early voting? That's in-person early voting. That's got nothing to do with this pandemic.
The other point being here is that in the midst of all of this, there's nothing to verify the person voting is who they say they are. And as you
right.
said, with a ballot harvesting, I go out to a community and say, hey, I'll gather all your ballots. I'll take them in for you. And then I go through them. I may change them. I may dump them. I may, add to them. There's fraud opportunities are boundless.
Yes. Yeah, and anybody who doubts that happens, all they need to do is Google the 2018 election and the 9th Congressional District in North Carolina, where that exactly was happening. And, in fact, the vote harvester there, who was collecting absentee ballots from voters and then altering them, forging them, including forging signatures, he was indicted on 3 felonies, and the election was overturned.
You're listening to Hans von Spakovsky with the Heritage Foundation. There's something else I want to discuss with you that we've never had a chance to, and I want to point out to the audience. You did a piece of work for PJ Media in the past, every single one. It was
right.
A title, nominated for a Pulitzer Prize, and it was dealing with how the government under Attorney General Eric Holder at the time was basically putting, I guess, every single one that they put in position was going to be a lackey that would carry out all kinds of malfeasance and criminal activity, in my opinion. How would you define it? I'll let you define it better. You have a better handle on it, obviously.
Well, what we did is we used the Freedom of Information Act to ask for the resumes of all of the lawyers hired by the Obama administration, Eric Holder, when he was head of the Justice Department, into career civil service jobs in the Civil Rights Division. Career jobs. We're not talking about political appointees. We're talking about career jobs. And it's very clear that the Obama administration was twisting and breaking the civil service rules, because all of the people, every single one that they hired into career positions, were clearly political allies of the president. They were clearly engaging in political hiring into the career ranks.
And
those people, many of them, they are still inside the Justice Department. They are part of that swamp that everybody keeps talking about, the swamp that's doing everything they can to prevent this president, President Trump, from carrying out his priorities and what he wants to do.
It's almost like planting seeds, isn't it?
That
will grow into fruition down the road for you.
No, that is the best analogy I know of. Although in this case, it's poisonous seed.
Yeah. And I'm so you got nominated. You guys did not get the Pulitzer. I would have given it to you on that, just based on the way you described it. And I think I've seen one or two pieces. I need to go back and look up that more. Where can folks see that if they want to see it? Still available, I'm sure.
Those were all published at PJ Media, Pajamas Media, their website. So hopefully that's still there.
All right, I'll have to go back and do that because, again, like you said, what you're pointing out is the very thing that probably has led us to where we were as Trump came into office.
Yes. And that was, look, we were concentrating just on the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department. But I can tell you, that was happening throughout the entire executive branch. There's no question in my mind.
Now, make it clear to us as to why it's a violation. I mean, they can appoint whomever they want. Why there's a violation if they all happen to be of the same political ilk and party? I'll give you 30 seconds for that.
A president gets a certain number of political appointees, but the vast majority of civil service jobs within the executive branch, 99%, those are career positions. There's not supposed to be any politics involved in the hiring for those jobs, and they were clearly violating that.
All right. Hans, again, we always appreciate having you on board, and thanks for taking time to go over that subject as well. I've been wanting to have that conversation with you for some time.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
You bet. We'll do it again. Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation, excellent source of material every time we have him on board. We'll take a break when we come back, how Hollywood is reacting to the coronavirus and Trump, of course. And I want to balance it out with a letter from a listener that's going to give you some faith in those around you, and children, when we continue.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Hey!
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So here come the hounds of the left from Hollywood, making all the noise they can, not praising our president for leadership at this point, doing everything they can to attack and nip at his heels, trying to bring him down, bloody him, make him unusable, unrecognizable, diminished. And one of the latest efforts, actress, left-wing activist, Alyssa Milano. She's saying, hey, Trump, you own a hotel. Why don't you open your hotel to treat coronavirus patients? Because the city needs more beds, and they just give them your hotel. Why don't you do that? And she had that tweet liked by several Hollywood celebrities, Don Cheadle, Lori Petty, Michael McLean. And I'm just looking. Let me go through. I'm checking. I've got up-to-date figures here. Hang on. Da-da-da-da-da. We're checking and checking. Let me see. No, Don didn't do it. No, neither did Lori. Nor did Michael. Nor did Alyssa. Not one of them have opened their mansions for illegals in California, so they have a place to stay. Huh. But they'll tell Trump, open up your hotel, put coronavirus patients in there. Well, if it's such a good idea, why don't you guys buy out a block of rooms and make them available? Well, of course, that involves wealth. And here comes Britney Spears. Britney Spears suddenly came out with a lengthy quote, but basically came down to talking about during this time of isolation, call your loved ones, so forth and so on, and we need to feed each other, redistribute wealth. All right, let me go through this again, my list of all the Hollywood elites who have done great things like open their mansions up to the unfortunate in the streets of the homeless across San Fran S-hole and L.A. I'm looking. No, I don't see Britney on there for opening her mansion. I don't see her on there for taking all of her wealth and beginning to redistribute it. That's what they want you to do. I think that starts, Brittany, by why don't you take all your millions and just empty it out and say, everybody, take a share of it. We'll go with it as far as we can. No, they're not going to do that. They push those kinds of ideas because it sounds nice. They don't even believe in it when it comes to them, but they expect you to follow them. And then you get some of these news anchor hosts, MSNBC host Lawrence O'Donnell. They're always looking to attack Trump and make mockery of him, especially if he missteps, misstates something. Donald Trump, he said if he gets his wish to open churches on Easter Sunday, Lawrence O'Donnell said millions of Americans will die in packed churches. He said if that happens on Easter Sunday, 19 days from now, you'll have millions of dead people all over the country. Of course, we don't know yet if we're going to go forward with lifting the mandates or anything at that point. That's what the president would like to do. But there are not going to be millions dying in churches. So let me put some balance in here. A listener in St. Francis County, Diane, sent this to me. She said, I hope everything is well with you. I have my grandson with me for a few weeks. We decided to do something for others. He's only 4. So we're kind of limited, but we made some 50 cards, big thank you on them, and then decided to distribute them. We got neighbors who are physicians. We put cards in there thanking them for what they're doing to help people get well, adding a prayer on the card, handed one out to the mailman as he came by. We know we've got some seniors in the neighborhood. We went around to their mailboxes or went to their door and made sure they got a card just saying to remind them, you're not alone, you are loved, and adding a prayer. Said some of them would later be out walking and would see my grandson and thank him. Said it meant a lot to the service workers, the seniors, a good teaching moment for children, and I would agree with that. And she added, yes, we did keep our 6 feet distance. Well, yeah, you've got to do that. It's not a bad idea. There may be others replicating it in other parts. If so, great. Because just dropping off a card, especially for an elderly couple living, and they're kind of restricted on what they can do at all, as we all are right now. And, of course, some people would be worried about a card. I understand. But just letting them know that we're here if you need anything, and you're not alone, and we're helping watch over you. There are people that are hurting right now financially, and it's going to get worse for some of them until we get the money in their hands, and some that are just hurting because they're very anxious over this, and there's some real fear and concern. Then there's exaggerated. Then there's some that's been sensationalized by various elements of the news media. For the most of us, we don't need to panic. We don't need chaos. We are going to move through this. And we'll look back on it in the future with children, grandchildren, explaining to them what took place. And we'll all stand in awe of how we responded. We'll be back here again tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.